It's now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast. Cut Forecast. The Cut Forecast. It's a cast from Cut Four. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the Cut Forecast. I'm Dakota Gardner. I am joined, as always, by Gemma Konecko.
Yep, I'm here.
And Sir Ian Kay.
Oh, wow.
Knight of
You became a knight over the weekend.
Realm.
Thank you. I'm so impressed.
Congratulations.
Was this after your marathon? Did they just knight you because you did such a great job?
That is how it works. You
great.
Get one of those medals and the medal blanket thing and a knighthood.
Yeah, Ian.
I didn't get a medal blanket.
Ian, did you do anything particularly impressive this weekend?
You know, not really. Just kind of a casual weekend. Went for a run.
Went for a run? How far did you run?
In the vicinity of 13.1 miles.
Oh, wow. Was it in like an organized fashion?
There was some organization.
Yeah.
Not as much as you'd think.
No, seriously, though, congrats, Ian. Half marathon runner.
Very impressive. Thank you. I didn't want anyone to know about it.
No, he definitely did.
Wanted to keep that.
Keep it on the DL.
I was promised that you were going to wear a tuxedo today, and you didn't do that, so I'm a little disappointed.
I was promised the podcast was going to be video today, but it's not.
That is true. That is
reasonable.
True. There may, in our near future, have some video component to this podcast.
And I may
unconfirmed.
Be dressed in black tie formal
yes.
attire.
Ian may
only
or may
Ian,
not
though.
Show up totally,
not the rest of us.
Totally fancied.
The thing is that tux, I only get it for like a week, so.
You're going to have to get it for a second.
You're going to have to extend the rental on tux.
Just buy it. Buy the tux for this purpose.
Yeah, actually buy the tux.
You can expense
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's start here. I just want to give a quick shout out. I don't normally do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. To Michael Clare, our writer, who had me on his podcast, Socrates, to play a game where I made up some soccer teams, and he had to guess which ones were real, which ones were fake. And I decided, wouldn't it be really fun to do something similar here right now? So we are going to start this episode of the Cut Forecast with our version of Two Truths and a Lie. And the way this is going to work is that I have three old-timey baseball players here. Two of them are real, one of them is fake. I will give you the name, their nickname, and the time in which they played and a fact about them. You'll have to tell me which one is fake. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Got it.
All right. So who wants to go first? It's not going to matter because they're all the same.
Are we playing
Gemma.
Together? Are we playing together, though?
No, you're competing
Which is
if you have the
say,
same answer.
Okay.
That's fine.
But it's the same quiz for both
it's
of us.
The same quiz.
So,
yes.
But
so it doesn't really matter who goes first.
So it really is still us versus you.
Sure.
Despite the fact that Ian just threw me under the bus. So.
All right. Here we go. Gemma, you'll go first.
Okay,
here they
fine.
Are. Here are the three players. I'll read all three players. You have to tell me which one is fake.
Great.
I didn't write down which one was fake, so hopefully I remember. All right, here's the first player. Myron Moose Grimshaw. He played first base for the Boston Americans, who are now the Red Sox, from 1905 to 1907, and he had a lifetime 256 average with four home runs. Interesting fact about him was he quit baseball after being hit by a baseball, but then he eventually went on to work at a factory in his post-baseball career where he put together a factory baseball team, and he was the coach. Fun fact about Myron Moose Grimshaw. That's number one. Number two, Hank Chestnut McDonald. He played mostly right field for the St. Louis Browns from 1905 to 1909, hitting .225 with eight home runs. And he earned the nickname Chestnut due to his habit of chewing on the traditionally inedible chestnuts during every plate appearance. And then last but not least, that was Hank Chestnut McDonald. And then last, certainly not least, is Jack Happy Townsend. He pitched six seasons in Washington, Philadelphia, and Cleveland from 1901 to 1906, and he had a 34-82 record, and he was a 3.59 ERA. He taught himself to pitch by throwing rocks at apples that were hanging from apple trees while he imitated the pitching motions of his favorite pitchers. That's Jack Happy Townsend. So who is the fake player? Is it Myron Moose Grimshaw, Hank Chestnut McDonald, or Jack Happy Townsend?
I think Jack Happy Townsend is fake because I think you stole that story from Bartolo Colon's life.
Ian.
I think the chestnut guy is fake because who would chew on chestnuts?
An old-timey baseball player. That's who. Ian is correct. It is, in fact, Hank Chestnut McDonald is not real. I made him up. Jack Happy Townsend is a real player. Sorry, Gemma.
Man.
So, Ian, you get to go last when we
it
do the...
is mine.
The summing up the podcast in 140
Sir
characters.
Ian.
I thought that the pop quiz would never come back, and yet here it is. So.
It came back in a form. It came back in a form. All right, well, let's move on. Let's move on to our first topic today. Madison Bumgarner hits home runs like nobody else in baseball. Well, that's not true, but like very few other pitchers.
Like no one else. Okay.
I mean, there are a great many people who hit home runs better than Madison Bumgarner, but very few of them are pitchers.
True.
And in fact, he wants to be in the T-Mobile Home Run Derby during All-Star Weekend. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yes.
I think that would be fun. It got us wondering, though, who, if you could put, if you were the king of the world, Ian, you're a knight. You're
so
close.
You're close.
But if you were the king of the world, or I guess the MLB commissioner, although I don't think Commissioner Manfred makes these decisions, but potentially, who knows? You get to put together your dream home run derby team. Who would it be, and why? Ian, why don't you start?
Well, you know, I think that I'd like to see something in the home run derby. It's a little different. Like, I love the wrinkle last year with the clock.
Loved it. Yeah.
So, you know, to kind of hijack your question, I'd like to see an inside the park home run derby.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Featuring, you know, players who might not participate in the regular style, but guys who could pull off the inside the park home run derby. I haven't really thought out all the logistics of this yet.
Okay.
But I think it would basically be like pitches would get lobbed in. There would be some fielders. And then, you know, the guy would try to hit it into the gap or into the corner to, you know, and hit and have an inside the park home run. And it would be interesting because, like, if he came really close the first time on his first out, you know, he probably would only get three outs or something.
Yeah.
Then he'd have to sprint around the bases again after having to sprint around the bases.
That would be exhausting.
So, you know, I'd like to see some of the speedsters who really never participate in the home run derby and don't have, like, a natural home run derby equivalent during All-Star Weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your Billy Hamiltons, Jose Altuve,
yeah.
Although he
mm-hmm.
probably deserves
he could
to be
hit,
a real
he
home run
he's
yeah.
like really
year.
Hitting home runs this year. Though.
Billy Burns, Jarrett Dyson, those types of guys I would like to see in their own version.
I think
like
that would be
that.
Really fun. And
I would like that in addition to the home run derby.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, definitely.
And I think
definitely.
It should still be all the children out there in the
yes.
outfield. Well,
that, would,
you know?
That would add an extra yes. level for the outfielders.
Yes, just
or
trying
you
to
could
dodge
do,
the children.
Or you
yes.
could do it where like you auction off who gets to be the outfielders mm-hmm. and like that money goes to charity. So like some guy is like, I always wanted to play baseball and he can have his dream of trying to field a foul ball
I mean,
or a
this
fly ball.
Would be a great, you know, question specifically for Dakota. Like, could you, playing right field, throw out Billy Hamilton
no.
if he had just rounded the bases three times already?
If I had... No. No. If he had to do it three times before I threw the ball in, then maybe. But no, I don't believe that I could. He's much too fast for me. Gemma, could you do that?
Definitely. Absolutely not.
Ian,
no.
Could you? Could you
There's
do
no
it?
Way.
Probably not.
Oh, my God. No, I can barely throw a piece of paper into a garbage can that's 2 feet away from me. Like, I'm not going to be able
well,
to throw
Well, that's basketball. Don't worry about that. Okay, Gemma, who's on your
well,
home run derby team?
I also sort of hijacked this question a little bit.
I hate both of you.
And
Ian, I'm revoking your knighthood.
Well, because...
Gemma, you're never getting demoted. A knighthood.
I am a dame already, so I don't care about what things you dispense to
dame
me.
Dame Kaneko.
Yes. I thought if Madison Bumgarner is going to be in the home run derby, we might as well make it a non-traditional home run derby.
Okay.
So why not have people who traditionally don't get to participate? I like Ian's idea a little bit better than mine. I will say that.
Okay.
But I made two teams, and one is of pitchers, just all pitcher team.
Yeah.
And the other is random celebrities who have hit batting practice home runs.
Oh, okay.
So then you could see how all these people who never normally hit would get to
pitchers
go up against each other.
Win.
Oh, probably.
Yeah.
But here's my pitchers, Mad Bum, Noah Syndergaard, Bartolo Colon, obviously, Adam Wainwright, and Zach Greinke. They're on the pitcher team. But then the random weirdo team is that guy who won season tickets for the Rangers when he hit a home run for their
oh, yeah.
Swing for Your Seats
oh, yeah.
contest, Byron Anderson. He would be on that team, try to hit some more home runs.
Okay.
J.J. Watt. Hit home runs in Astros BP. He's on that team. The Mountain from Game of Thrones. I also think that he's just a really strong dude, so
probably.
He might do okay. He might make it kind of further along, right? P.K. Subban, who I do not think is actually going to do that well, but he still would be there. And Jack White has done a lot of BP, so.
Has Jack White actually hit a home
run? I doubt
run?
It, but he's been at...
contact?
Yeah, he's
pretty,
been at like...
He's pretty frail.
Okay, but he's been at like 17 teams batting practice.
Like,
some
of
so you would think by this time, yes, but you have not been in the cages like
some <Whatever. laughs> Been at batting practice?
Yeah.
Jack White has taken more batting
yes.
practice than like some major leaguers
yes.
over the last
yes.
3 years.
Yes, that's why I think that even though I don't think he's ever hit a BP home run, he still gets to participate because it would make
I
him
guess.
Really happy and he's really sad all the time.
He is really sad all the time.
He needs something to cheer him up. So that would be my home run derby. Obviously, this would be part of like the celebrity all-star
I also think that Inside the Park Home Run Derby is a little bit better.
I said that. So
we're also going to revoke your Dame status.
You can't. You did not give it to me. I gave it to myself. I'm queen of this.
You don't have a sword on shoulders. You can't award
you
don't
even have a
any
pen.
Titles.
So I don't have it. Well,
you
this
can't
is
take
the 21st century. Why do I need a pen?
21st century, why do I need some dude to tell me if I can be a knight or not?
Touche.
What is your home run derby team?
My home run derby team is literally just people I want to watch hit home runs. So I have six players here. I think these six are great, and I don't want to hear any dissent at all. The first is Giancarlo Stanton, who can hit a home run to the moon, and I want to see it happen. Giancarlo Stanton. The second, my personal favorite home run derby performer ever, Yoenis Cespedes, obviously deserves to be there. Two-time home run derby champion, Yoenis Cespedes. Bartolo Colon, I know we're a little Mets heavy here. I get that, but who doesn't want to watch Bartolo Colon in the home run derby?
Yes.
Only a churl. Madison Bumgarner obviously deserves to have his wish fulfilled, especially if Bartolo is there. We can have a special pitcher bracket. They could have their own little mini pitcher trophy. That would be really fun. Maybe they could each throw the home run derby. I don't know. That's the thought. David Ortiz, I'm the king of the world in this scenario. Obviously, David Ortiz is going to be in the home run derby. And then last but not least, Barry Bonds. I know he's like 50 years old, but I still think that he could hit.
I think he would win this
home run derby personally. So that is my field. Objectively correct.
Thank you, Dakota, for planning the actual 26 home run derby.
It's all set
Ortiz
now, we're all. Yeah,
Carlo.
So
yeah, this would be a really good home run derby. What if this actually is the home run derby field? I'm pretty sure there's like a greater than zero chance.
I think
that
maybe
this could be
you'll
it.
Win a jersey or something.
I should win a jersey.
You get the one that just says Bonds on the front. Not, you know, his team, but just Bonds.
I want it really badly. Yeah. All right, let's move on here. Did you know that Tom Brady either actually has a baseball card or went to the trouble of making his own fake baseball card? Obviously, Tom Brady currently is maybe not somebody you should be looking up to considering his issues with playing by the rules. But
alleged issues?
Yeah, well, you know, we don't have to debate the Deflategate, but let me just say I'm anti-Tom Brady.
The Supreme Court of the United States.
It's an ongoing investigation. But obviously Tom Brady made his own baseball card. Weird. He shared it on social media. You can go check it out, MLB.com/Kai4, or theoretically Tom Brady's Facebook page. I don't know why you would go there. Also, Topps released a special edition Bull Durham baseball card set. That's cool. So the question is, if you could have a fictional or imaginary baseball player or a real athlete who doesn't happen to play baseball, something along those lines, if you could have a baseball card of said person, who would it be and why, Gemma?
I would like any baseball cards from League of Their Own. I think that needs to be a set. I think that would be really fun. I would obviously have a little binder full of them.
Okay.
I would also like a baseball card from my favorite baseball movie, Bad News Bears, the 70s Bad News Bears, of Amanda Wurlitzer, pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
That would be nice.
That would be really good.
Yes, that's what I would like.
Those are good.
Yeah.
Ian, what do you got?
Well, Topps was doing that cool thing where they're like re-releasing retro cards.
Yeah.
And they're doing all kinds of, they're doing like some current players in like the old card designs.
I love those. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are cool. I think they're just throwing in like random old cards in the old card design, but like made new. I think it'd be funny if they took some of like the throwback cards they're doing, where you know they'd just be inserting like a early 2000s card into a current deck, but did it with the actors from Moneyball.
So, that's like, mine.
Just yes, I ruined it.
Yay!
So like you would just get a Scott Hatterberg card, but it would be Chris Pratt. There'd be no explanation of what's going on.
That would be amazing.
Also, would accept Miguel Tejada as Royce Clayton.
That is amazing.
So that is literally what I wrote. I actually wrote Billy Bean, Oakland A's, but I want it to be a Brad Pitt card. I would also I think that would be really fun if it said Billy Bean and it had Brad Pitt's face
That's
on it.
That's your favorite joke of all time.
Well, and then I could act like Billy Bean handmade it himself, which would be really fun. And then I thought, yeah, well, a whole collection of Moneyball baseball cards. That would be so great. Like, if you just had that whole cast, yeah, it would be incredible. I also thought it would be fun, John Elway, a Yankees card, considering the Yankees actually drafted him in the second round in 1981. That would be really fun to own, a little piece of memorabilia. He also is like a weird bit of leverage. He claimed he was actually going to sign with the Yankees in order to get more money. That was pretty funny. Or, because I'm not a big Russell Wilson fan, I could get a baseball card of him as a member of the Texas Rangers, and then I can fantasize that he never actually played football and that he just went on to play baseball, because I would enjoy him much more as a baseball player. So those are the two options I have, but obviously the Moneyball cards are the best, and they should make those.
I agree.
Ian, you're 2 for 2 here so far.
Thank you.
You're doing really well. And you got the pop quiz right.
I'm like the Jackie Bradley Jr. of this podcast today.
You are. You are the Jackie Bradley Jr. of this
podcast. All streaks end, so there's still time.
Yeah, they do. Okay, here's a question. I didn't tell either of you I was going to ask you this, but
good.
Here it is anyway.
What is it?
I think this will be fun.
Will it?
Did you see the Red Sox ball girl made that sweet catch this weekend?
Yes.
It's pretty cool. Which would you rather be, a ball person or a member of the grounds crew? Because, you know, the grounds crew, you have to deal with the tarp. When it's raining, you'll get rained on, you'll be all wet. Sometimes you may get attacked by the tarp and get swallowed up by the tarp monster. That's not good. But if you're a ball person, you have to deal with, like, hard-hit balls coming at you all the time, and that's terrifying. And you could either make a highlight, be on cut four, or you could fail miserably and also be on cut four.
There is really no part of the grounds crew that looks appealing to me. It looks like gardening without any of the fun parts.
What about the Yankees? You get to dance.
Yeah, some teams have the dance, yeah.
Yeah, but it's not like an original dance. You have to do the exact same dance every day for the last 40 years.
I don't think it was 40 years, but...
Well, however long, it's an approximated time frame. Like, shouldn't somebody be allowed to like freestyle at some point?
Well, you could be you. Yeah, that's change you want to see in baseball, Ian.
I know that's great for your like and your employment longevity.
That's
they should
true.
Get like of all the performers in New York that are dancing anyway, like
all the
on
subway
the street,
dancers.
On the subway. They should get those guys
yes.
on the field.
That would
yes.
be awesome.
That
and
would
they could
be
shout
awesome.
It's showtime and then dance.
I sat through an entire It's Showtime show at Washington Square Park like a month ago. Maybe.
Wow.
We've yeah. gotten very New York centric here.
Yes.
Apologies.
It's a lot less
apologies.
Actual showtime than we advertise.
It's
mostly
true.
Yelling that
it's
it
a
is seems to be showtime.
It's a lot of very in-your-face money collection.
Yes, yes.
It doesn't happen every day, I promise. It does. Gemma, would you rather be a ball person or a grounds crew person?
See, I feel like I'm inclined to go towards grounds crew because there's so much less of a chance that I would right. embarrass myself in front of everyone, but I want to wear a uniform, like a ball girl. I think that would
like
be cool.
Like a real uniform.
Yeah, because they wear uniforms.
The grounds crew wears uniforms, but
yes,
not like
but I
want to
wear
uniform.
Like a player's uniform.
Yeah.
Yes. That's so I want to do that, but I'm also pretty sure that I would make many mistakes.
Well,
and
yeah.
it would be very embarrassing and sad for me.
But then you would be on cut four.
I don't know. I mean, my byline's already on it. I feel like that's enough.
But you're not being publicly shamed on cut four.
Yeah. I'm going to go with ball girl.
So I would probably go grounds crew because lower stakes.
Mm-hmm.
I have no real desire to wear a uniform because it gets really hot and that's not fun. Whereas like polo and khakis, you could stay pretty chill wearing that. And for the most part, you don't actually have to run out onto the field with the tarp. So, like, all the other stuff you do is pretty, I mean, it's hard, but it's not, like, you know, getting rained on all the time or whatever. So I would put up with the fear of being swallowed by the tarp monster for the slightly easier job that requires less public shaming. That's my belief. I guess it doesn't require public shaming if you're a ball person.
What if you're, yeah, someone
whatever.
Could be good at it. You could just be good at it.
We have to write about something.
It's true. We have to do with something. All right, guys, here's an interesting thing. We have an interview coming up. Gemma and I did this last mm-hmm. week with Jim Boykowicz, who is the manager of game and event production for the Cubs. He's in charge of booking all of the seventh inning stretch singers, the first pitch people, pitcher thrower people.
Yeah, that's the
all
technical
kinds of,
term.
That's, I believe, the technical term. All that
pitcher
kind of stuff.
People.
It's a great interview. We'll have it in just a minute. But here's a question that I think would be fun to answer. If you were singing the seventh inning stretch song, Take Me Out to the Ball Game, it has a name, who would you want to duet with? Ian.
Well, the thing about this is I'm like really, really bad at singing. Like there's people who are good at singing, there's people who are not good at singing. but I'm just like really, really bad. Okay. I just have no musical ability. Like I can't tap a rhythm on the table. So I basically want to not be a part of this. I'd like to be announced, but then I would like nobody to remember me.
Uh-huh.
So I would prefer to do this actually as a trio. It'd be me, Adele, and Beyonce. And I would handle the a one, a two, a three, and then just kind of leave it to the professionals, and would just be kind of a footnote in the history of this duet living on between Adele and Beyonce, who I don't think have ever shared a stage.
I don't know.
But this, I mean, that would be a great opportunity for them. And then I would just be kind of the guy who like got cut out of the video before. That's how I'd like it to go.
Okay.
If you could just ask Jim of Boykowicz to make that happen for me.
I will do that. Also, it should be noted that people would be like, who is this weird dude that is singing with Adele and Beyonce?
It would totally be a random footnote.
No, that'd be even better.
Like 10 years
forget.
From now,
it
there would not be a BuzzFeed article that would be like, only true millennials remember this weird guy who introduced the Adele-Beyonce duet.
There would be a whole thing about you. Like, remember Left Shark in the Super Bowl?
Yes,
that would be you.
Would be Left
you would be a meme.
Yes.
Great. I would love to be a meme. I would be immortalized.
I'm sorry, May-May.
Yeah.
May-May is MVP Bryce
crying
Harper.
Crying Ian?
Bless it. Yeah, there you go.
You would be crying also?
They would crying Jordan you. That would happen.
Yeah, once Adele and Beyonce started singing together right in front of me, I would probably be moved emotionally to tears.
Gemma.
I really want this to happen. Ian's still batting 1,000.
I know,
podcast.
It's true. He came in here just spitting fire, start to finish. Gemma, who would you duet with?
I'm also not a great singer, but however, I feel like since this is mostly shouting, it would be okay. But I assumed I would also be doing this at Wrigley, so I wanted to do this with a Chicago person, like someone who cares about the city of Chicago, and also someone who is good at making the people that they work with look better than they are. So okay. I picked Stephen Colbert.
Oh, okay.
Good That's interview, good at framing things so that the other person always comes off looking really smart and mm-hmm. great and talented. He's a good singer. He sings all the time. I'm sure that he would take away the fact that people have to listen to me also shout. Take me out to the ballgame.
That's good. I like Colbert.
I might be making this up, but didn't he sing like seriously in college or something?
Yeah, he's done musicals as well too. Like he has done the like one night shows at Lincoln Center and stuff. And he
Shout
sings
out
on
to you, Stephen
he sings
Colbert.
On his
yeah.
show sometimes.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he sings
yeah.
all the time.
Yeah.
So he sings all the time.
He'll be talented. I'll just be there. It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
Yeah, and people
he's
will be
a good
happy
improviser, and the whole thing is make your partner look good, and so
he's a really good improviser.
He will do that.
That is true.
He's very good at that. He also spent a lot of years in The Daily Show doing the exact opposite of that.
Yes, yes, but
so
it will
good
not.
Luck.
It will not be an interview in which I talk about my like weird political action committee. So it'll be okay.
I thought about this as being like a team that I'm a fan of, which I'm a fan of the Red Sox. I mean, I'm also obviously a fan of the Cubs, but I grew up a fan of the Red Sox. And so I like was trying to picture like if I was singing it at Fenway, who I would want to sing with me, even though it's not really a tradition at Fenway. My first thought was like, I want it to be like an aggressive, obnoxious Red Sox fan so that I seem more in control and like compared to them. So my first thought was Mark Wahlberg because I felt like he would be just so loud and aggressive that I would just be the like people would be like, oh look, it's just charming Dakota.
No, they'd be like, oh, why isn't that guy as passionate as Marky Mark? He needs to turn up the energy.
That is true.
I don't remember Marky Mark doing any like one man show at Carnegie Hall or anything.
No, but he has musical talent.
He was
obviously.
Marky Mark.
He was so. Marky Mark. It wasn't called the Funky Bunch and Marky Mark, obviously. Second person I thought would be really fun would be maybe I was singing it here in New York. I live in New York. Well, now I live in New Jersey, but I live in the tri-state area. I was like, well, what if I'm singing it? What if fellow Red Sox fan and New York Mayor Bill de Blasio sang with me? Wouldn't that be exciting? And then he would take all the headlines from me because it would be like, Red Sox fan Bill de Blasio singing Take Me Out to the Ballgame at Yankee Stadium. That's shameful. And then he would lose an election and it would be a whole thing.
And you would be okay being behind that.
Yeah, I'd be fine. Okay. Again, footnote, the Ian theory. But then I was like, you're right. I should probably pick a Wrigley Field person. And who better to sing Take Me Out to the Ballgame at Wrigley Field with than Bill Murray? Chicago mainstay, beloved human Bill Murray.
That'd be fun.
It would be fun.
You get to hang out with Bill Murray.
And I would get to hang out with Bill Murray. Benefit. And I would get some weird story that I would share with everybody on the internet, and everyone would love it. That is how I fantasize about my life, is sharing stories on the internet. I think it's time to listen to our interview with Jim Obojkiewicz, manager of game and event production for the Cubs. Take a listen. We now welcome to the show Jim Obojkiewicz, Cubs manager of game and event production. Jim, thanks so much for joining us here today.
Thank you guys for having me.
It's really great that you took time to be here with us, so thanks for that. Now, what exactly does the manager of game and event production entail? That's kind of that's a lot. And so are you telling Joe Madden what to do? Are you ultimately the man in charge, or where do you fall in the pecking order there?
I am far from the man in charge of the Cubs. I'll let Joe continue to do his thing. I think he's done a great job, so I don't have to dabble too much in the business of the team. But I oversee our game and event production. I oversee our seventh inning stretch program, all of our pregame festivities, from anything like the giant flag presentation that we did the other day on Memorial Day to our color guard and national anthem, celebrity first pitches, kind of any other special activities that we might have pregame. We do a number of things with some season ticket holders and some other things to kind of engage the fans. So I oversee that during the season, and during the off season, spend a lot of it invested in our Cubs convention.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, that's such a job. It sounds like, it sounds like a great time, but it sounds like a lot of work as well.
It is a great time.
Well, let me ask you this first. Just out of curiosity, we were talking about this on our last episode of the podcast, but if you were put on the spot and you had to do one of those things, if you had to sing the national anthem or take me out to the ball game, or if you had to throw out a first pitch, which would you rather do if somebody came to you and said, we need you to do this for us, Jim?
I'd throw the first pitch because I can't sing whatsoever. So the other two are totally out.
Well, then let's talk about the first pitch then, because I think, we've talked about it a little bit amongst ourselves, Gemma and I, about sort of the technique of it. What is something that people maybe don't know about throwing out a first pitch, or what is some advice you would have for anybody who suddenly finds themselves in that position?
I usually give the advice of aim high. One thing, when people go out to the mound, they're kind of elevated on the pitching rubber, and you're looking down at the catcher. And I think most people, when they're playing catch at home or anywhere, that they're never really on a major league mound that's, uplifted a little bit. So they think they need to throw down to the catcher. And we have Justin Grimm, one of our relief pitchers, is outstanding, helps us out every day by catching the first pitches. And he does a great job kind of playing with the person throwing. He makes them look good, kind of frames the pitch for him. And I said, you just get it in the air to him. No one in the stands knows if that's a perfect strike or if it's letter high or maybe even eyeball high. But if you bounce it, people know that it hit the dirt. That becomes obvious. So I tell them to aim high. They're also not going to get signed by the Cubs, so there's no need to try to throw it 90 miles an hour. Just throw it in there with a nice pace. Don't try to do anything too crazy.
Yeah, I think you've broken everybody's dream of firing in that 95-mile-an-hour pitch.
Just immediately getting to join starting rotation.
Yeah, I know. Theo Epstein, his mind is blown. Yeah.
I don't think we'll have the rookie of the year scenario here.
So how do you go about booking a first pitch? Do people come to you? Do you look for them? How does that go?
We've got a team that works with me, and we kind of scour the newspaper and scour everything that's going on in Chicago. So, obviously, we have a number of professional teams with the Blackhawks, the Bulls, Bears, and some of their players are always trying to come out to a game and want to do the first pitch or sing the stretch on it. And then we've got a number of TV shows that are filming in Chicago. We just had a fellow, Joe Manoso, from the Chicago Fire TV series out yesterday. Those guys, they like to come off again. So we have a number of things going on in Chicago, but we like to do stuff with Second City and some other kind of local iconic places. And then we do have people that reach out to us. Tonight we have Craig Sager throwing a first pitch.
Oh.
He's from Batavia, which is about a half hour, 45 minutes west of the city. He grew up coming to Cubs games, tells some great stories about it. He's coming through, and it's something he really wanted to do. He had contacted us about getting tickets, and we proposed the offer for him to throw first pitch, and he was like, got to do it. So he'll be throwing tonight. So there's kind of a balance. We certainly are out recruiting people and looking to see what's going on and topical, but then we certainly have some people that are reaching out to us.
That's really cool. Yeah. And it's cool that it's very local. I know that you guys do that a lot. And also with the seventh inning stretch with the singer, I know that that tends to be somebody who has either is a passionate Cubs fan or is a local Chicago celebrity or whatever. Is that something that you've actively attempted to do over the years?
Yeah, we try to keep it. You know, certainly there's other A-list celebrities that come through, whether they're filming a movie or just coming through Chicago, that we'd always kind of, you know, invite out. But between our great former players, the local Chicagoans that are diehard Cubs fans, Joe Montaigne and Gary Sinise, Jeff Garland, there's a lot of people that want to come do it, and people, you know, that are up-and-coming actors. So we try to keep it with that Chicago feel because that's what it is. You want them to know about Wrigley Field, know the tradition of Harry Carey, you know, be invested with the team some. And we've, with the video board, we're able to show a bunch of videos of Harry Carey doing it. So it's kind of been the best of both worlds.
Yeah, for sure.
Sounds really nice. In the past couple of years, who do you think has been the best seventh inning stretch singer or your favorite?
My favorite, I think the one that will always stand out to me was probably 2005. Ryan Sandberg got inducted into the Hall of Fame, and we were able to do one with Ryan Sandberg, Fergie Jenkins, Billy Williams, and then the late Ernie Banks and Ron Santo. That was just one that if you're a Cubs fan, that kind of gives you chills to see all those guys together. So that was outstanding. From this kind of celebrity, Vince Vaughn is always entertaining when he comes back. You know, he gets back once a season, maybe every other season, but, you know, he plays up the crowd. He's just great. Bill Murray always delivers a great performance. Eddie Vedder always does a great job. So it's always pretty exciting to see who's coming through and, you know, just see how they interact with the fans. You guys mentioned which would be the one that I would do out of first pitch, anthem, or stretch. You get a lot of people that the first time when they walk out of that booth after seeing the stretch, they're kind of shaking, say, all of a sudden, 40,000 people turn and look at you with the light bulbs on. And I think that catches people off guard the first time they go through it.
I'm sure. Yeah, that sounds absolutely terrifying.
It really does.
Who, if you could get anybody living or dead to do the seventh inning stretch, who would you want to do it? Like, who's your dream person that you would book?
My dream person is Michael Jordan, but he happens to have some White Sox ties. So I don't think, and actually he had mentioned, he had thrown a first pitch a long time ago, and he had come out to a couple of games during the playoffs, 5 men at the Cubs. He just said he would never sing. He had Charles Barkley out. He threw a first pitch a couple of years ago. He also said singing is something. He'll show off his bad golf swing, where he said singing is where he cuts the line. So maybe a duet with those two would have been my dream, but I don't think we'll have that.
You know, even Cubs fans buy sneakers, to paraphrase Jordan himself. So I want to talk a little bit about the Cubs convention, because this is one of those things that I think other teams may have copied it, but the Cubs convention is the one that I feel like people really get excited about every year, and it's the one that I think is the most like a Comic-Con of sorts. How much planning goes into this? I mean, there's a ton of events that you guys put together. One of my personal favorites was the Ryan Dempster late night talk show that you guys did. How does this all come about?
So this will be the 32nd year of the Cubs convention. Long before I had started, they came up with kind of the idea of you need to bridge the gap between the off season and spring training. Mm-hmm. And let's invite the team back. Let's invite former players back. Give a chance for fans to get engaged. It's usually kind of the tail end of football. Hockey's kind of in the middle of the season. Basketball's going on. But there's no baseball, and you're kind of gearing up for spring training. So it started a long time ago as kind of the first sports fan fest. And we've continued it now. Our entire team comes back, you know, current guys, coaches. And we have about 25 former players that come back. And we've put together an entire week-long event. The convention really runs Friday through Sunday, mm-hmm. but we put together a caravan where they go visit schools and hospitals. The players are, you know, kind of going out into the community and giving back. Anthony Rizzo runs his charity event on the Thursday night before, and then we have our launch on Friday, and it's I think probably 100 hours worth of autographs that our players give out.
Wow.
Not to mention all the panel autograph question and answer panels that they'll take part in throughout the weekend. We obviously have our great opening ceremonies, and then you mentioned the Dempster event. Ryan killed it for 2 years. We proposed the idea. We're kind of talking about some things, he and I, about something we could do on Friday night. I said, what would you think about doing, kind of hosting a show? And it was an idea that came from one of the guys that works with us, Max Berman. And he did something similar in Washington, but they did a half-hour one. Mm-hmm. And I said, Dempster, do you think you could make it an hour and a half or so? And I think by the end of the first one, it's 2.5 hours long, and I don't think anyone got up the entire time. And I would say they were probably hurting the next day from laughing so hard.
I've seen parts of it, and it's pretty amazing. He's incredibly talented, and I think that's just an amazing idea that you guys were able to actually pull that off. I think it's extremely cool.
It's been very fun. Again, I got to give all the credit to Dempster on it. He's outstanding with it. He has a great relationship with the players. They like talking with him, and they have some of those inside stories that you don't get to hear anywhere else. They're mm-hmm. comfortable with him. And Dempster, he actually does filming, all during the season now that we'll use some of the B-roll and some different footage. And he'll come to us with ideas. I mean, last year he brought in all his superhero costumes, and he was jumping around the office, and he was kind of propelling down the banister. And I just kept thinking, I hope the legal team and I hope HR doesn't see this. This probably isn't going to go over well.
It's because he's so enthusiastic.
This is like a year-long production in the making. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you just a couple more questions. Then we have some Twitter questions to run by you. But one of the things that I've been wondering is you've been with the team through the highs and the lows, and they're arguably the best team in baseball right now, and everybody is talking about the Cubs. They're super fun to watch. Is it weird that they're this good? Is it like, do you find that it's changed how you actually have to do your job? And if they actually win the World Series, is that going to kind of fundamentally alter the core of what it is that you do?
So, I think it's very exciting for the team. I have been here through some highs and lows on it, but I've been a Cubs fan my whole life. So this is a very, very exciting time for all Cubs fans, and I think we're all excited. To have this great young team. They kind of burst on the scene last year, which there weren't the expectations, and they exceeded everything last year and won the playoff series versus Pirates and the Cardinals. So people are just generally really excited about the team. And I think that is carried over through the convention and the offseason into this season. And you come Memorial Day yesterday, 2 days ago, we had 41,000 fans there, and I think 40,000 seemed like they were in their seats an hour before the game. It just had that started. And so that's made it really exciting. I think for our standpoint, when we're inviting celebrities out and you're bringing into something that's so electric that they can feel it and they want to come back, and they, now with social media, they put something out that they're at the game and it spreads like wildfire, and co-stars or other people that they work with or that they know now want to come out. So it certainly helped having a team that's playing so well, having young superstars that people want to meet and see.
Yeah, it's definitely exciting. I think it's pretty cool that that electricity is there, and it's fun to watch. Obviously on TV, it's infectious.
Oh yeah, it's so great. It's like just so exciting to see this team take off the way it has, and I imagine that's like fun for you too. Just does it change the events that you would otherwise plan?
Yeah, I think for we'll obviously continue a Cubs convention, but the tickets go a lot faster. People are expecting more. And they're hungry to see the players and have a chance to interact with them. So we've had to adjust some things, alter some of the stuff that we're doing to accommodate more people, to really showcase some of the younger guys. For the Cubs convention, we had to double the size of most of the ballrooms just to fit fans so that it was a good experience. I mean, we had to double the size of these ballrooms to see 3 or 4 players on a panel for an hour. But it really made the difference. Because otherwise, those people are standing on the outside looking in, and that's not a good experience for anybody.
Yeah. Well, we have a couple Twitter questions.
Sure.
Gemma here, why don't you read this first one?
All right. So first from, let's see if I can pronounce his name, from Greg Niemczyk at it's _just_Greg. How does one start their way into getting such a position, and what's the most enjoyable part of your job?
So I was very fortunate. I got an internship shortly after college with the team, and it was actually in 2003, which was a great season for the Cubs. So I was able to be there through that playoff run, and I stayed on working the Cubs convention there. Luckily for me, my boss had left on maternity leave and decided not to come back on it. So there was an opening in our marketing department in the role that I had been working on all summer. So fortunately, I did a good enough job to make an impression on people, and I've been there ever since. But I think, you know, for anything, it's, you know, putting in hard work, and certainly when you're first trying to get into it, it's, you know, working very hard, showing people that you really care, that you're invested in it. You know, I knew a lot about the Cubs, but I certainly learned more in 1 year working as an intern than I ever thought I would have, you know, at any other place, and certainly more than I had just watching them on TV. So I was always willing to kind of lend a helping hand to different departments and really make it difficult for them to let me go, and it kind of worked out.
That seems to be the recurring theme, is just make it hard to replace you, and you'll wind up sticking around. Now, this is real. This comes from at TC_00. This is completely real. This is from TC Bear, the mascot of the Twins. He tweeted this at us today. We put out the call for questions, and he replied. And his question is, when are you going to start letting Clark the Cub on the field more often? Apparently the mascots
There's
some bear solidarity here. I don't know if you have a say in what Clark the Cub is, where he's patrolling, but TC Bear is very concerned.
Well, I'm sorry for TC that. No, we do some stuff with Clark on the field. He does some stuff on our kids' Sundays with it, and he's active with them on our running the bases on it. Our pregame stuff, we've tried to scale back anything that we do on the field to keep it ready for the team, and we, you know, even the number of sponsors and VIPs that we bring down pregame, we try to limit it. So we have Clark all throughout the ballpark. We have him signing at our first timer certificate booth, taking photos there to get to see fans, mostly younger fans at that spot. We had a Clark's clubhouse that, just due to our renovations right now, isn't there this season, but it'll be back. So that's a great opportunity for fans to go see Clark. I have two little kids. It's a great spot to get out of the sun and take them into some air conditioning. Also in that middle of the game when they're starting to get a little restless, go in there, see Clark. He's great. He's been phenomenal for the team for the past few seasons. And we're always looking to do more with the fans with him, but I think he actually has a better opportunity to engage with people outside of the infield area there.
For sure.
And in the stands.
That makes sense to me. Yeah, I think TC needs to head to Wrigley Field.
TC just wants to see Clark more, but TC doesn't realize TC has to go to the park.
Yeah, TC, for real. Maybe next time go to Wrigley Field before you start tweeting his questions, TC Bear. Thank you, Jim, so much for taking the time out to talk to us today.
No, thank you guys very much.
Cool, and we hope to talk to you soon, and good luck to the Cubs.
Have a great season, and thanks again.
Thank you, guys.
That was great. Thanks, Jim, for joining us. I'm really happy that he was able to take time to talk to us.
Yeah, he's great to talk to. Some good stories.
I hope that one day they get Michael Jordan
to
go and sing.
Yes, despite the fact that he's already declared it will never happen.
I think it'll happen. I still believe. As I said, they, you know, Cubs fans buy sneakers too. one of those things. It's time now to sum up the podcast in 140 characters. One tweet that adequately and accurately condenses the whole thing down into a bite-sized chunk. Ian won the pop quiz and the podcast, really,
just
at large.
General, yeah,
which means that you've set the bar really high for your tweet, but you get to do your tweet last. Gemma, since you failed miserably at Two Truths and a Lie, why don't you give us your tweet first?
Okay, I will. Only true millennials remember the Cut Forecast, where we made up the Inside the Park Home Run Derby and interviewed at Cubs manager Jim Obojkovic. That might be too long, but I don't care.
That's good. Yes. I like it. Mine will be... I sang Take Me Out to the Ball Game before the Home Run Derby with Bill de Blasio, and then Barry Bonds won the whole thing.
Sounds like you woke up at 3 a.m. from a dream and just tweeted that.
Yeah, well, that's actually really scarily accurate. My dreams are like, Ian, what do you got for us? What's your 140 character?
Better be really good.
Observation.
Okay. When at Topps, is that their handle?
Yeah.
Topps Cards, I think.
When at Topps Cards releases a retro card commemorating the first Inside the Park Home Run Derby, be sure to check out that guy standing behind Beyonce and Adele.
Long, but good. I think it's one of those like one out of two and then two out of two.
Yeah. /?
It's good. I like it. Good job, Ian.
Yeah, thanks.
Kind of a down note after your strong podcast performance. It's sort of like hitting three home runs and then striking out in the fourth at bat.
Why don't you just run the credits, Dakota?
Well, if you have a better tweet, more accurately summarizing this podcast, tweet it at us at Cut4 with #Cut4Cast. We'll retweet the best ones, favorite the slightly less good ones, and I will mock the ones that I think are terrible. You can go to MLB.com/Cut4 to read everything that we write. There's a ton of stuff there. Go read it, please. Go to Facebook.com/Cut4. You can like us on Facebook, and you'll get all of our stuff in your newsfeed. Isn't that just the best? If you subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, please leave us a review. You can leave us a rating as well, 1 to 5 stars. I promise you will not hurt my feelings. It's okay. And write the review. Tell your friends, hey, it's a free podcast. That's pretty cool. I mean, they're all free for the most part. You may have to pay for some, but it's free. So don't feel bad if you suggest it to your friend and they're like, you know, it's only okay. It didn't cost them any money. So think about that.
What a plug.
I know. Such an endorsement for our own.
This is a good podcast.
Thank you, Ian. Thank
Listen
you.
To it. Tell your friends about it because it's good, not just because it's free.
Yeah, it's okay. I don't care for it, to be honest with you. No, I'm kidding. It's great. Dude, tell your friends, seriously. Ian, thank you so much for being here and joining us.
Anytime.
Gemma, thank you for putting up with me all of these many weeks. But mostly, thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next week.